football fans, and welcome to the CBFA podcast with your hosts, James Parks and Cole Fortner. Welcome to the CBFA podcast. Joining me today, as always, is my co-host Cole and also Kevin, who is announcing down at Shoal Ice Park. Welcome, Kevin. Welcome, Cole.
Thanks. It's a pleasure.
Right on. So we each saw some different games. I was actually watching the same ones that Kevin was watching. We'll start with Cole. What did you see over at Encana?
It was a little interesting for me because we didn't have audio again over at Encana. We're still looking to get that solved, hoping possibly to get something by next week. So because of that, we have not had announcing over there, so I know a couple games have missed out on hearing us over there. So I kind of had a more relaxing afternoon than I usually do. I managed to park myself inside of one of the golf cars and watch the two games that were going on over there. So I don't really have many notes. Stampeders Wildcats was the 1 o'clock game. Fairly even to start. Then there was, right before halftime, there was a Stampeder player that got injured. I think it was one of the running backs. I don't think that was the main cause of it, but well, no, it wasn't, because like second quarter, Wildcats really started to open it up, and they kind of ended up just running away with that one a bit. I mean, it was 38-16 final, so it wasn't the most lopsided that we score we saw this weekend.
It wasn't
the closest we saw either. As for the second game that I saw, it was Chiefs and Bulldogs. Bulldogs kind of dominated that one a bit. They scored a couple times in the first half and kind of just sat on a lead. There was a decent fair play moment at that one at the end of the game, because there was about a 70-80 yard run from the Chiefs running back, scored a touchdown. There was a holding penalty on it. But the Bulldogs elected to decline the penalty and let the touchdown stand because it didn't affect the win or loss anyway.
Oh wow, that is some sportsmanship.
I don't know if they got the convert or not, but because of that, it ended up finishing 30-22 instead of like 30-14 or 30-16.
Huh.
It was nice to see, because it was the running back for the Chiefs had a heck of a game. I think that was Xander Alaric, who's already. He did not get player of the game because he's already won it. But he was probably one of the most notable players for the Chiefs. It was a nice sportsmanship moment to see, for sure.
That's awesome. Yeah, we love to see that. All right. So Kevin, you and I saw the afternoon games at Hellard.
Yeah.
Why don't you go ahead and give us an update on those games.
Well, I mean, the first game was definitely, it was close for the first half, because I think it was like tied at like 8 at the half or so. And so it was great to see, you know, a close game, but because this was Colts and Eagles, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
And so, you know, it was close to start, which was good to see. But then the Colts kind of just they ran away with it in the second half. And so 22-8 was the final score. There was some good defensive, like there was some great defensive stand-ups, because it was, you know, you'd have one team get very close to the goal and the defense would just stand them up on both ends. Both teams did great.
Yeah.
When it comes to like the Colts, their quarterback, Marzoff, I believe his name is, he had a lot of running plays, which I found And he even had one of the touchdowns. So I found that really cool to see that he can, you know, make that decision in the heat of the moment. All right, there's no one to pass to or hand off to. I got to run this thing. And so, you know, great,
yeah,
great kind of competitive mind sort of thing.
Yeah, making things so happen with his feet.
Yeah, so that was a awesome. That was a fun game to watch. The second game was Cowboys and Rebels. Oh,
yeah.
It is hard to see those kind of games when, because the Cowboys won 64-0.
Yeah,
it's hard to see.
We were expecting a lopsided affair, so it was not unexpected, but it's still you like to see them a little closer than that.
Yeah, because I watched the game that they had against the Raiders, and it was 61-0, which was again it's so disheartening for those, you know, these are young players. They want to have fun. They want to go and compete. And props to them for, you know, sticking through it the whole game. They're still just pushing.
Right. Yeah. Hopefully by the end of the season, they've done enough to get themselves in a position that they might not only score on a regular basis, as we saw them start to do last year towards the end. But yeah, they might end up surprising a couple of teams that at the end of the season that maybe underestimate them a little bit.
I think part of that too is we talked about it on last week's podcast. Look at the difficulty and the strength of schedule that the Rebels have started off with as well. I know the Hilltoppers aren't looking as dominant as we maybe initially thought they would be in the offseason. I think that's their supposed low numbers coming back to hurt them a little bit. But then getting Raiders and Cowboys, both of our defending Div 1 champions and runners up,
yeah,
in
yeah,
week 2 and week 3 is not ideal.
No, and as we'll talk about in a minute, it doesn't get much easier with the Mavericks coming up next. Mm-hmm. So the other two games, the morning games at Hellard Field, I ran into a friend of the podcast, Grant Pollock, who was with us right at the initial episode on there. So here's Grant on the first two games in his own words. I'm here at Scholdice Park with Grant Pollock, who announced the first two games on Saturday morning for week 3. Grant, can you give us an update on what happened this morning?
Well, James, it was a beautiful day for football. I mean, this is why I love coming out here, is for the weather. It's just fantastic to me. As I always say, it's the place to be in Calgary on Saturday mornings. I just love the atmosphere. The first game, it's the Raiders, who lost only one game this season. That was so far, and that was to the Cowboys. Well, they play it against the Mavs. I thought it would be a closer game, but it wasn't. The Raiders dominated. They really played well. They had a strong running game. Their quarterback, Ronan Thompson, I think his name is, really strong runner, good passer, maybe one of the best passers I've seen here in a long time. So the Raiders dominated that game. They won by a big, big margin. In the second game, it was the Lions and the Hilltoppers. The Lions hadn't won yet. They'd lost their first two games of the season, but you wouldn't know it by watching them on week 3. They were so dominant against the Hilltoppers. The Hilltoppers made a little too many mistakes and kind of dropped the ball a few times, literally dropped the ball. But the attack by the Lions offense, there were so many weapons on that offense, and they were outstanding. So I really enjoyed that. The player that really stood out to me, and you don't see it much, at least I don't, in Bantam football, are tight ends. Number 44 for the Lions, I believe his name is Wyatt Russell. He's the coach's son, one of the coach's son. And he was phenomenal. He looked like Gronk out there. You know, he was Gronkowski. He was really strong down the middle, getting passes 10, 15 yards. I'm not sure about the stats, but I think Wyatt had must have been like 5, 6, which is a lot for a tight end in this league. So he stood out. So the Raiders were great. The Lions were great. Pretty good football teams.
Wonderful. Thanks very much, Grant.
My pleasure, James.
The morning games, the final scores, the Lions 34 over the Hilltoppers 6. And in that opener, it was Raiders 60, Mavericks 0.
Yeah, so another bit of a lopsided
score
on that one.
So, dominant performances again this week by the Cowboys and the Raiders, and the Colts join them at 3-0. Surprising Colts. The Wildcats are also at 3-0, and I should actually correct myself right there. The Raiders did drop that opener to the Cowboys, so they're 2-1.
Yeah. Yeah, 3 undefeated teams still. Wildcats, Colts, and Cowboys. Colts actually surprises me a little bit.
That's right. So looking ahead to this week, the Cowboys are up against the Hilltoppers. So, the Hilltoppers looked really good in the opening week, but they've been dropping games since then. And it's not going to get any easier this weekend.
No. I have a feeling it's going to be probably similar to what both of those teams have seen the last 2 weeks, and it being a very lopsided win for the Cowboys and a very lopsided loss for the Hilltoppers.
Yeah, so I'm always hopeful that the defense will step up and make some stops where maybe some of the other teams weren't able to. So
yeah.
We'll see. Again, that's Hilltoppers 1-2 versus Cowboys 3-0. The next game is those Mavericks who dropped that big one to the Raiders, but that's their only loss. They've looked really, really good otherwise, and they're taking on those 0-3 Rebels. So they're probably going to improve to 3-1 after this weekend.
That might be a bit of a statement game for the Mavericks. It's either they come out of that loss last week, guns a-blazing, and absolutely hammer the Rebels, or last week's loss still in their mindset, or still in their mind, and it ends up becoming a bogey game.
Yeah, I think we're going to see them.
The guns blazing.
Yeah, they'll come out guns blazing. Well, the Mavericks, of course, guns blazing. The Raiders will be taking on the Lions. Raiders are 2-1 versus the Lions. 1-2 got their first win last week, as we heard Grant tell us. I don't think the Lions, as good as they looked last week, can stop those Raiders.
I haven't really seen the Raiders much. I think I might have seen them week one, really. No, I didn't, because they were over at Encana. But from what I've seen of the Lions, like, their defense is not bad. Like, it'll hold them in for as long as possible, but will it make it the entire length of the game against the powerhouse that is the Raiders? I'm not sure. But I think they can look to some key players on the defensive side of the ball and maybe be able to put up a couple points and have it less lopsided than one might think.
I guess we'll find out on Saturday. The other game, another game. This is probably going to be the game of the week. It's the battle of the unbeatens. The Colts 3-0 versus the Wildcats 3-0.
Yeah, it's going to be a... It's going to be a dogfight, that one.
That's a great way of putting it.
Or I guess we could almost say, Colts,
but horse/cat fight.
Okay, horse cat fight. that should be a good game from what I know of both those teams. I haven't seen the Colts play at all because I've been on the other field for all their games, but Yeah, it should be an interesting one.
Yeah, I've watched a couple of the Colts games now, and I mean, I believe it's like they've got some good players, like the one, number 11 for the Colts, Zulu, Ashton Zulu, maybe.
Yeah,
that sounds right.
Yeah, he's I see him a lot. You know, he's got that presence, and he gets, you know, like some great runs and of, you know, getting those scores, those touchdowns. And so, and then Marzoff as well has been quite standout. So I think I've seen the Colts are definitely a team
for real,
you know, force to be reckoned with. So they've got
for real. I haven't seen the Wildcats play, but we know that the Wildcats always come to play, and they're not 3-0 by accident. They've played some pretty close games, but they come out on top. So it should be a really good matchup this weekend. Next, we have the Bulldogs, 1-2, versus the Stampeders, 2-1. Now, you know, this could be an interesting battle.
I have a feeling this one could be a rather good game based off of what I saw from both these teams last week. And offensively, it might be a bit of a struggle. I have a feeling this is going to be probably our lowest scoring game of the day. Both these teams have pretty good defenses. So it should... if I look at the standings, both teams have given up 68 points through three games. Like, they're dead even on points against. So defensively, it's going to be where this game is won and lost.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Those defenses are tough. I know the Bulldogs have struggled a little, but I expect them to put up a fight against the Stamps. It should be a good game.
Yeah, I've watched a couple Stamps games now, and they've had a couple losses, just one loss, yeah, and so I think they've got what it takes to, you know, win some games, and so this should be a. But I mean, they have, like, in terms of the standings, they have scored more through three games than the Bulldogs. So that
it is. It is hard to judge, though, because they're two wins. I'm not trying to, like, rain on the parade or anything, but their two wins are against the other last game of the day, the Chiefs and the Eagles, were both winless. Their loss comes against the Wildcats, who is undefeated, as we've previously mentioned, whereas the Bulldogs, you know, they played the Colts, they've played the Wildcats as well. So they've played the two undefeated sides instead, right? So it skews the standings a little bit.
It's a lopsided right now, but as we move on through the season, you'll see the best teams rise to the top, and the good teams will be, you know, right behind them.
Yeah.
And in the final game of the day, we've got the battle of the winless. So one of these teams is going to get their first win of the season, and that kind of seems to me like somehow really bizarre, because these teams haven't played poorly.
No,
they're
not
bad. They're not bad teams, and I think they deserved a better fate than the 0-3. So Eagles versus Chiefs, 0-3 versus 0-3. Somebody's going to get a win, and one of these teams isn't going to deserve to be 0-4, and that's just heartbreaking.
Yeah. I'm quite shocked that the Eagles are 0-3, because, like, they've played pretty decent, like, quite well, and it's like, they're 0-3. That didn't seem right at first. So I think both of these teams are definitely
The issue is neither of these teams, apart from the Bulldogs Chiefs last week, neither of these teams have really had close games. Yes, they look solid. And again, like Colts Eagles last week, week three again was their closest game. It was 22-8 loss. But neither of these teams, like, yes, they look good, but they don't have the ability, from what I've seen, to finish out the games. And that's why the scores have run up in both of their, in two of three of their losses, because the other two losses were 44-24 and 48-8. The Eagles losing those ones, and then 46-8 and 34-6, Chiefs losing those ones. So it's, yes, they're good. Yes, they look strong. Like, they probably are a good, strong contender, especially for Div 2. I think we can probably safely write out Div 1 now. Even though we're only like 3 weeks in. But it's, they haven't had the ability to close out the games. And I don't know if the coaching staff's going to be working on that by, say, maybe doing conditioning or anything at the end of practices or whatnot. But to win more games of the season, that's what both these teams have to figure out.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, on to other updates. We have a game time for the October 14th Raiders versus Colts. That's a one going at 1 p.m. at Ed Egerer Athletic Park.
You got it, I think.
I had to practice.
That's a mouthful.
So it comes with a statement that I'm going to read here, and you're probably going to hear it at the park a few times leading up to it. But this is, you know, a special case where we're moving a game outside of Calgary. To my knowledge, it hasn't, a regular season game hasn't moved in over a decade. So this is a special occasion. Years ago. On October 14th, the city of Airdrie, along with the Pee Wee Bantam Leagues and Rocky View School District, are celebrating homecoming. Join us as we play 8 football games at Ed Egerer Athletic Park, in addition to a full fall festival atmosphere, including a concert series, pancake breakfast, tailgating, and live music. It sounds like it's going to be a good time.
Yeah, I'm going to be there, so I'll have a blast.
There you go. Yeah, you'll have to...
I'll have all the insider information on the podcast for you.
Bring your Zoom recorder and do some updates for us in the field. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe I should go to that game. That sounds like a fun time.
No, you're booked at Hellard Field or at Hellard Field.
Ah, true.
Yeah, I'm actually announcing that day as well. I'll be at Field 8. So
no, I ended up moving stuff around. I don't know if this is really podcast information, but I ended up moving stuff around because I was asked to do one of the high school games later in the day as well at the same venue. So it's like, I might as well just make myself useful and stay there the whole day. Sure. And also do our Bantam stuff. Kill two birds with one stone, if you will.
There you go.
So it led to some readjustments on the announcer schedules. We get to hear James's voice in week 8.
Yeah.
Over the PA intercom and not just the podcast.
Yeah. And we know that, you know, it works at Field 8, if not in Canna.
We're working on it well.
It doesn't work well, but, you know, the people within a 20-foot radius of the booth can hear me anyways.
So, yeah, the Bantam game starts at 11, but apparently there's events going on between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. at Ed Egerer Athletic Park and East Lake Park.
There you go.
The power of Google.
The website has been updated, so that's my segue into the next update. Website updates. So we've updated the schedule. That's all in there. You can look ahead. Full schedule, there's a link at the top of the webpage. Also new at the top of the webpage is a score banner. So you can look back at past scores or scroll ahead to future games that are scheduled down the road. And I was also able to manage to figure out how to split the table into divisions. So it's not just the 1 through 12 Bantam division. It's actually one through six and one through six in Ken Toon and Brock Jacobs divisions. So
yeah, and then we just had to figure out the math on the overall standings.
Yeah, that'll usually work itself out the further you get into the season with the wins and losses. There's not too many tiebreakers that you need to go into. But and earlier in the season...
Do you want to explain the reasoning for our listeners at home why there's the two divisions and why those two divisions don't actually affect playoff standings?
You're welcome to go ahead and explain that.
And so we have the two divisions, the Brock Jacobs and the Ken Toon. Each respective first place in each division will get an award at the end of the season. However, for playoffs, it doesn't actually matter. It's still the league-wide standing, so one will play, I don't remember what one plays. It's one versus four?
It's,
No.
It's, I think, for Division One, one versus four, two versus three. Or
yeah,
no, or is it the top six?
So no. So it's
oh yeah, it's
one. No, it's one v eight, two v seven, three v six, four v five.
Yeah,
ninth will play 12th, 10th will play 11th. But those are for the Div three.
That's Div three. So
yeah,
so first when it starts, it's all Div one and two playoffs, and then the winners of the first round move on to Div one, and the losers get Div two, which is a pretty good consolation prize to fight for. So,
yeah, no, that's
not always the reason a bad that thing losing your first playoff game. Just don't lose your last playoff game.
Yeah. So, yeah, the reason why there's the two is just we'd have a North champion and a South champion for the regular season, but it doesn't actually affect playoff standings.
That's right. So, Gordy's play of the week. We had our second play of the week awarded, and if you're following on social media, get your entries in for this week.
Another wholesome moment from that as well. The player that won it ended up putting out on his social media. I think we had it back on our, I think we reposted onto our story on Instagram. But yeah, a nice wholesome comment after winning. It was the winner of, I think it was a Raiders player, if I'm not mistaken. Because they won it in the first game, so it would have been a Raiders player. But yeah, he had a nice wholesome post about the game he had and the fact that he ended up winning the Gordy's Player of the Week, and it was nice to see.
Yeah, very cool. It's one of those heartwarming stories that you know, keeps us coming back for more. Coming up soon, not too long now. I believe it's on the October 7th weekend, is Gordy's Food Fight, which is the food drive in support of the Veterans Food Bank. And the two winners this year, there will be two winners, will each get a pizza party, which is better than, you know, the previous years where only one team got the pizza party. So now there's two pizza parties going to be awarded.
Yeah. And like, course, we covered it a lot. We covered it a bit more in detail last week as well, but yeah, there is a good amount of food raised and we're going to try to look to top that goal.
Yeah. That's a fantastic initiative.
If anybody wants information again, it was 834 pounds. No, I think that was just from the Stampeders. It was just 830. Yeah, 834 pounds winner. Just from the Stampeders.
Oh, wow.
And there was an additional 3,881 pounds on Saturday at Shoal Dice last year.
That's amazing.
Plus another $5,000, over $5,000 as well. Actually, no, what's over 8,000.
What's a better incentive than a pizza party? I mean, come on.
Right?
Wow.
Free pizza at practice.
When you're 13 to 15, there is nothing finer. At least there wasn't exactly. When I was that age.
Oh, I'm in the same way. I mean, free food even nowadays, I'll accept
Always.
There's no question. It's like, oh, free food? Okay, yeah.
That's how we get most of our volunteers.
Yeah, so yeah, looking to beat 11,000 pounds of food and about $8,000. We can do it.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, definitely. Let's crush it.
And finally, maybe finally, maybe not. We'll see. The Selects 50-50 is ongoing. So that's a 50-50 draw that is available online. There is a code, QR code that you can scan. You can find it on our social media as well as on our website that will take you to the online ticket purchase portal, and you can get in on the 50-50 draw, which will be done on September 16th at 4 p.m. The last winner took home $450. So,
and I think, if I'm not mistaken, the prize for this upcoming one was already greater than that. I might be mistaken, so don't quote me on it. I apologize if it's not. But to my knowledge, it was already past that last week.
Nice. So it's taken off. Get in on it while you can. Buy all the 50-50 and, you know, bring home some cash and
look like a hero. Because we can't get it, so.
And support the Selects while you're at it, because that is the premier youth bantam-aged football program in the country. It is the single greatest football program there is in Canada. So let's support it all we can. All right. And is there anything else, or are we going to stick a fork in this one?
All right, that's all I got.
I mean, so far I'm 3 weeks in. I mean, I'm having a blast of being a part of this, and it's been a truly amazing experience so far. And I'm pretty much looking forward to every Saturday for the next few weeks. So it's been awesome.
And Sunday. Don't forget about our one Sunday game.
Yes.
And the one right. Sunday game. Yes.
We have.
There was one Thursday game like in week two. I mean, I wasn't there. So, yeah. And then the one Sunday game. Everything else Saturday. Yeah. But so that's looking forward to the weekends.
That's the October 1st game. It's the weekend of Truth and Reconciliation. So. Mm. We will be moving all festivities from Saturday to Sunday.
Yeah.
And that's it. We will see everyone at Schold Ice Park on Saturday.
The CBFA podcast is brought to you by longtime players of the game sponsor, Wolf Cadillac Calgary. Check out their selection of new and used vehicles online at www.wolfcadillaccalgary.com or in person at 1720 Barlow Trail Southwest. And game day wouldn't be the same if not for Superfan Snacks. They're located near the plaza area of Schold Ice Park. Superfan Snacks proudly supports minor football at every level. Find them on Facebook. Thank you for listening.